Eliashib, the high priest, acted as a godly leader should. He was out in front of the work, leading by example. Oh, this is deep, okay? If you're going to be a godly leader in your home, in your job, lead by example. Lead by example.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Welcome back to the Hope Restored series as we continue through Nehemiah. We've seen burden, prayer, vision, and commitment. Now the rebuilding begins. Today in Nehemiah chapter 3 verses 1 through 3, our message is titled, The Pilgrim's Progress. One of the beautiful things about this chapter is that it reminds us that God's work isn't built by superstars. It's built by faithful people who show up and do their part. Priests, families, workers, and leaders all join together in a common purpose. The wall didn't go up overnight, and neither does spiritual maturity. Progress happens one step at a time as God's people faithfully walk with Him. Restoration is a journey of faithful progress, not instant perfection. The Christian life is not measured by how fast we grow, but whether we continue moving forward with God. Today, let's ask, have you become discouraged by how far you still have to go? Or can you thank God for how far He's already brought you? Let's join Pastor Ben in today's message, The Pilgrim's Progress, as we continue verse by verse in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Here's Pastor Ben.
Think about it like this. Your life is a story being written as we speak. Each day is a new entry. Every situation, a different challenge. This is the life, this is your life in the Lord. So where do we begin? Obviously, chapter 3, verse 1, jot this down, it's the sheep gate. It's the sheep gate. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1 says, Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it, then as far as the Tower of Haniel. Now, that's verse 1. And I mean, let's look at this. Let's break it down. Why? Because there's two specific applications we can learn from this verse. What is it? If you have a pencil handy, go ahead and underline or highlight Eliashib the high priest. Why? This was the first worker mentioned. The first worker. What did he do? He rose up to do the work with the other priests, and they worked on rebuilding the sheep gate and the section of the wall there. You go, okay, cool. Yeah, he's the first worker. Then Eliashib. Yes, but everything in God's word has a purpose. You go, well, what's the application? How do we apply this? Eliashib, you ready? Eliashib, the high priest, acted as a godly leader should. He was out in front of the work, leading by example. Oh, this is deep. This is deep. Okay? If you're going to be a godly leader in your home, in your job, lead by example. Lead by example. Eliashib did not act if he was too spiritual for the hard work of rebuilding the walls. Can you imagine? Nehemiah, come on, guys, you ready? Oh, do you know who I am? I'm the high priest. I'll pray for you. That's not leadership by example. I can't remember the story exactly. It's the story that the Lord is giving to me, but it's about a pastor who was on a ferry, and it was crossing, I don't know, some river, and it began to sink. And so everybody was running around, and he was a very well-known evangelist pastor, and everybody had buckets, and they were making sure, and they were doing this out, and so the pastor got a bucket, and he began to. And they said, no, you don't have to do this. He says, you pray. And the pastor looked at the people. There's a time to pray and there's a time to heave water out of the sinking ship, right? There's a time to work. And that's exactly what Eliashib said. There's a time to be spiritual and there's a time to be a high priest, but there's a time to work. A time to work. That's a great thing. Church, listen. Be an example. Be an example to people. Lead by example. The world is watching. The world is watching. He built the sheep gate. Now, if you have a pencil handy and you want to take note on this, it represents salvation for the believer. That's what the sheep gate represents. You go, what do you mean? Well, okay. So over in John's Gospel, chapter 10, we get a glimpse of Jesus being the sheep gate. John mentions it as a door, but look, John chapter 10, verse 7 says, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" Great verse for an amen. Why? Think about this. Let me paint the picture. When shepherds were herding their sheep in the Bible days, okay, something super cool, super, super cool, okay? I'm going to back up because I think it's just a notable thing to teach. I'll get to the sheep gate in a minute, but shepherds often led their sheep in front. During the day, they would walk in front and the sheep would follow them and hear their voice. When it got dark, the shepherd would then back up and he would walk with them in the middle so they wouldn't be afraid. And such a beautiful picture as our good shepherd. He leads us by day, we hear his voice, but when things get dark in our lives, when things get really, when there's storms, when we don't know what to do, the shepherd says, no, I'm right here with you. He's not leading 10 paces ahead of us. He's right here. So we have a beautiful shepherd. But in these days, listen, they didn't have corrals like we had today where the sheep could stay. So they usually would do is they would look and they would stop for the night and they would try to find this enclosure like a cave or a canyon entrance. Then they would find the narrowest spot. And then once all the sheep were in, remember, he's not leading them anymore. He's walking with them. Okay, here we come. And he takes them in. You guys know this. This is so cool. He'd find the narrowest. And once they were settled in, the shepherd would lay across the opening. That's where he would sleep. And you go, wow. The only way someone was going to get into the sheepfold was they'd have to go through the shepherd. Okay, I've got to speak a blessing over you right now. The only way somebody's going to get in your life, they have to go through the shepherd first. They're not going to get you. Everything in your life is Father filtered. And you have to trust the Lord that it's like, okay, Lord. Lord, I've made some bad choices. I've got you, Ben. I've got you. But not only that, no enemy could come in, but no sheep could get out. Why? He's blocking the door. He's got you. And I don't know if you know this, but sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. Sheep will continue to eat the grass till it turns to dirt, until they eat the dirt, until they die. That's how dumb they are. They need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. Can we agree we need a shepherd? Amen. But he's the good shepherd. The Bible tells us, jot this down, Psalm 95, 7 and 8. Psalm 95, 7 and 8. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." He says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness." Guys, we used to sing that song, right? "We're the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand." Now, here's what I find interesting about the sheep gate, okay? This gate would be a gate that the children of Israel would use when they're going into the temple to sacrifice. And as they would come into the temple, this is where they would bring the lamb to offer the Lord. What are they going for, church? What are they going for into the temple, into the sheep gate with a little lamb for? You go, oh, that was to sacrifice for sin. Exactly. Now catch this. This is deep. This is so good, guys. This is gonna bless you. Before the lamb was killed, the priest would first inspect the lamb to make sure it had no blemishes. You're like, yeah. But what you don't see is the person bringing the offering was not inspected. The lamb was. The priest looked and said, okay, what do you got here? And he would look. He never looked at the person and said, okay, let me see your life. Let me see your life. Let me see what, turn, he never, oh, this is good. Why? The priest would have the person who offered the sacrifice place their hands on the head of the lamb. And this is monumental. Why? Well, this was an act of identification. It symbolized that that person realized that the lamb was paying the price for the sin. And I thought, wow, isn't that true for you and I? When it comes to salvation, we have to enter through the sheep gate of God through Jesus Christ. He is the only shepherd because he also became the very lamb we need. He is both, what, shepherd that protects and walks with us, and he is the very sacrifice. But there's more. All of his righteousness is transferred to you. All of his right, why? Because that's what it means when we're in Christ. All of his right. He's the lamb. You put your hand, you transferred all your sin on him, and he transferred all his righteousness to you. So if I were to look at you today, church, and ask you, are you as righteous as the Apostle Paul? Your answer would be, amen, yes. Why? Jesus! Well, no, Pat, I'm not. Paul was like, he was like varsity, man. I'm just like on the C team. No. Think about it. All of his righteousness was transferred to you when you're in Christ. That should let you sleep so good tonight on the pillow, because you're just like, I don't have to strive for myself. I'm saved.
Well, why are you saved?
Because Jesus, right? What are you going to say, Pastor Soph, when you get to heaven? What are you going to say? By what right do you have to enter into heaven? By what, how are, what right do you need to be here? Amen. He says, Jesus. I don't have any rights. I don't belong here. But Jesus said I could come. The sheep gate, church, the sheep gate is always a starting place. True salvation needs to come first. Here's what we need to just search our hearts. And on a Wednesday night, I get it. I'm preaching to the choir. Amen and hallelujah. But let's always just make sure that we're saved, that we're truly saved. And sometimes we have to take a step back and say, Lord, how is it between us? I just want to make sure that I am. You heard me say 1,000 times, words alone aren't sufficient to save. People pray prayers all the time. But we need to see the heart that's transformed on the inside out. Now, listen, stay with me. But then there's progressive sanctification. Sanctification means you're becoming more like Jesus every day. But it's progressive. It's going to take a while. We're climbing that mountain. Ah, oh, I didn't act like Jesus today. Oh, okay, tomorrow. And then you'll graduate one day. You'll graduate. Listen, I know this is hard, but when a believer dies, should be the greatest day we rejoice because they've made it. They've made it. It's hard for us. They made it. Now, after the sheep gate, we move to another gate. You ready? It's the fish gate. Look at verse 3. Also, the hands of Satsani built the fish gate, and they laid its beams and hung its doors and its bolts and its bars. Hassaniah, I said that wrong first time, Hassaniah built the fish gate. Now, I like to do word studies and see what names mean, and I thought maybe there would be something really cool, because these are the sons of this guy, Hassaniah, but his name was like hated by everyone, and so I was like, oh man, why did your mama name you that? I'm not going to mention that because it's like, dude. But he did build the fish gate. You go, okay. Now, here's what I need you to see. Don't remember the name, okay? Don't go home and say, Pastor Ben said this name. But here's what I need you to say. You've heard it said before. You ready? If your faith hasn't changed you, then your faith hasn't saved you. Here's why. A natural byproduct of true salvation is sharing and service. Sharing and service. You see, the fish gate, this gate got its name because it was nearby the fish market. And these sons of Hassaniah did the work of rebuilding it while others helped. Now, let me give you a story time, okay? Jesus was walking one day by the Sea of Galilee, and one afternoon he saw a set of brothers who were fishing. Do you remember? Do you remember what he said to them? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Think about this. Think about this story. These men were professional fishermen, but now something's changed. Jesus has called them, and he says, you have a new priority. You have a new priority. Before Jesus, they would wake up wondering, okay, where's the best place to fish? What are they going to be now? But now, they're fishing in a new sea. You go, what sea? It's the sea of humanity. And they were fishing for souls of men. Do you remember the little girl in the illustration that I used on Sunday? She went to her mama, 4 years old, and she said, Mama, Jesus isn't in my heart anymore. Oh, no, where is he? Where is she, sweetie? He's in my voice now. He's in my throat. Well, why is he in your throat? Because I got to tell people about Jesus. I've got to tell them. So my question to you, church, is, has Jesus moved from your heart to your throat? Because that's what the fish gate means. It represents sharing our faith. It's evangelism. And if we're new to the Lord or we've been walking for a while, we have a tremendous opportunity. Why? Because your unsaved friends are watching you. They're watching you. Now think about this. As you begin your walk with God, one or two things are going to happen, okay? As you begin to share your faith with your family and friends, you ready? Number one, they will either turn to Jesus, or number two, they will turn away from you. Come on, can I get a witness? Can I get testify up there? Yeah, exactly. They won't want to be your friend anymore. When you share your faith and when you walk and you share love and you're a different person and you seek Jesus and you pray and you give, you give of your time and your energy, people will see, there's something about you. What is it? What is it? Pastor Soph reminded me on Sunday what a tremendous opportunity we have in light of the assassination we saw this past week, because people are questioning. We have an opportunity, but I get it. Some will turn to Jesus and some will turn away from you. You go, well, what should we do? Share the gospel. What a great gospel it is. Share the gospel of Jesus with everyone. You go, well, how? Help me. There are several practical ways. Let me give you just a few. Number one, lend a helping hand to a neighbor. Just lend a helping hand. We are losing the ability to talk to people anymore. We're losing that ability. You want to test me on that? Go anywhere that you have to wait and nobody's talking to each other. They're all on their phone. That's a design by Satan. I get that. I don't know what's going on in your life because you're in your phone, I'm in my phone, and we don't talk. Back in the day, you used to talk. Hey, how you doing? How are you? Even now, it's awkward, isn't it? If somebody doesn't have a phone and they come in and go, hey, how you doing? You're like, good. You go, what's another way? Guys, bringing a meal to a friend who's sick, bringing a meal. We have a meals ministry, but even more than that, you go, hey, I'll take you a meal. Oh, I heard you were not feeling good. Let me cook for you. How about this? Be aware of a fellow worker who's down. Who's down? Be aware. Oh, are you feeling okay? You all right? You ready? How about this one? Show compassion to those that are hurting. Sometimes, church, you just need to hold somebody's hand. Just, that's all. You know, you're not going to give me any words of wisdom. You're not going to give me any pastoral. No, I'm going to hold your hand. You okay? You ready? You ready? We're going to try this. Come here. You ready? When someone's hurting, you ready? I'm sorry. Let's try it. I'm sorry. Well, you're not going to say anything to me right now? You're not going to, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry you're going through this. I'm so sorry you're hurting. What can I do? Well, nothing. You can pray. Well, okay, well, let's pray. I'm here. Guys, that's sharing the gospel. You know why? Because the world isn't doing it. Matthew 5 and 13 says this. We are salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. Light speaks of our witness. Light speaks of our witness, how we live. How we live. And so there's power in the gospel, but we're just the messengers. But the power is in the message. Power is in the message. Now, by way of recap, the sheep gate, salvation. What happens next? Sharing and service. We're building the fish gate. Now, next week, we're going to cover the old gate and the valley gate, as well as the refuge gate. But let me close with this. Let me close with some takeaways. You ready? As you and I begin to build the broken down walls of our heart, remember that God is at is at work, and it's a work of God to build those. What I love is that he begins to invite us to join the work, but listen to me, church, we must be willing to do the work. We must be willing to offer forgiveness and compassion and love and grace, and we must be willing to walk with people in their darkest hour. We must emulate our Jesus and walk as a shepherd right in the midst of the darkness with them. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm not going to leave you. The second takeaway tonight, guys, is that I want to be a godly leader. I want to be a godly leader. And that means that we should be out in front of the work. We should be out in front of the work, leading by example. Make sure we don't act as if we're too spiritual for the hard work of rebuilding the walls. I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah, what do you need? I'll do it. Wow. There are a lot of people who want to be pastors, want to be ministers. And here's the thing. All this means is you're the chief servant. That's all a minister means is you're a servant. And you go, I'm the senior pastor of this church. Okay, you're the senior servant. Get out in front. Let's go. Let's go. But remember back in our study, what did we say? We are going to rise and build. We're going to do this. We did this. So you don't sit there and go, well, you're the pastor, you get paid, you go. It doesn't work that way. You know what it says? We all join hands, we say, we're going to do this. When it comes to the conference, the women's conference, let's join hands. We're going to do this. When it comes to the trunk or treat, let's go. We're going to do this. This is amazing. When it comes to our Thanksgiving dinner, we're going to do that. Let's rise up and build. What do you want to do? We're going to stress you out, Pastor, by having too many people in here. But it's an outreach. The gospel's given all the way through. What is Easter going to look like? I don't know, Pastor. We need a bigger building. We need to be thinking that now. And then last but not least, salvation is through who? Jesus. He is our beautiful shepherd, and he's the lamb. And take this home, ready? You're not inspected. He was. Put your faith in him and rest. And if you've come to die, give me Jesus. I'm not going to call on, well, I was pastoring for 21 years, Lord, and you know those people, those sheep were crazy. No. You know what I'm going to say? Give me Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? The shepherd leads in the daylight, and when it gets dark, he's there with you. That's Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, you're so good. And so, Lord, we can't but help praise you tonight. You've shown us, you've convicted us, you love us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Now, may we apply what we've learned, Lord. Forgive us for our pride and when we think we're something, and forgive us when we bull up and we get all knotted inside, Lord. Wipe our eyes so that we see the purity of the gospel and we see people who need Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone here. I speak a blessing over them, God, that they would rest tonight knowing you are the good shepherd and you died in our place. And I pray, Lord, they would take that seriously. They would talk about it. They would run with it, Lord. What you're going to do? Lord, if you'll move from our heart to our throat, Lord, then we will speak the name of Jesus. Can I get a good amen? In Christ.
Next time here on In Christ Radio, we'll continue through Nehemiah chapter 3 and discover that everyone has a place on the wall. As the work expands, we'll see how God uses different people with different gifts to accomplish one unified purpose. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. And his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.